all is ticked. There you are.
All right, all right. We'll hear more of that a little bit later. Kind of a musical booby prize, don't you think, Ibrahim? I mean,
I would love to hear that music. If I was on one of those kids on the court,
really?
I would love it.
So it's just by virtue of winning that you want to hear that song.
I would swim in it.
Otherwise, it's like on the blackboard with the fingernails, right?
There's some tradition that's associated with it. So I do respect that. It's a little cheesy, but I could, you know.
A
I
little
like
cheesy?
We're going to explore the cheesy tradition of sports music in just a moment with the John Solomon, who's going to join us in just a moment. But Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, let's take a look at the basketball. We've got really interesting and very surprising challenges on both the men's and women's side. Let's listen, first of all, to the women's tournament. It's given us the big news of the year.
The Notre Dame Fighting Irish have done what no team other than Stanford has been able to do over the last three basketball seasons, take down the University of Connecticut and end the Huskies' chances at a three-peat for the national title.
That's Trey Wingo from ESPN. So, you know, UConn out and Stanford out too.
So, which is great. And everyone, you know, there's a lot of energy focused on the number one seeds, number one seeds, number one seeds, but except the people that have to play these number one seeds, like Notre Dame, that have played them three times in the year. So Notre Dame played UConn three times this season.
So you learn.
You can't beat a team four times in a row in one season. I don't care how good that team is. The Dragon will be slayed, and Skylar Diggins from Notre Dame outplayed Maya Moore.
So Notre Dame versus Texas A&M, does this show the depth of women's talent in the NCAA at this point, or is there something about these schools?
I think it's a great point that you make, that it shows that the women's basketball has probably finally matured beyond just the one big team and the one big program. So I think this is going to be this is one for the ages,
really,
for the women's
positive
game. You're right.
Really, really positive. All right, so how about UConn versus Butler? UConn has the men's final to worry about.
Yes.
So they don't get the booby prize completely. That's the music a little bit later on. But tell me about UConn versus Butler. Butler won, it seems to me, because they shut down the 3 points of VCU.
I think you're right about that. And Butler plays incredibly good defense. And Coach Brad Stevens is a strategist. He's a tactician on the court. And he gets his players in the right position all the time for the Butler coach. Now, on the flip side, the UConn team is led by a bunch of young people, but they're a bunch of young athletic players.
And there's this one. This
extremely dangerous Kemba Walker, the kid from the Bronx.
You've been, like, mantraing Walker's name Kemba for the
Walker
last 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah, Kemba Walker is frightening. I just have to say, if you're playing against Kemba Walker, if he has the ball at the end of the game and it's down to the last couple points, that is extremely
you're
scary.
You're going to lose.
Yeah, I think it's dangerous.
All right, we don't know, but let's just imagine. Kemba, you just won the NCAA final.
A moment
so great, a song so bad. Let's bring John Solomon in. He's somebody who we talk to about bad Christmas music, but he also happens to be a college basketball journalist for PrincetonBasketball.com and a DJ at WPRB in Princeton. John, come on in here.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me back, guys.
And thanks for suggesting that we really need to torture people with this song twice in one morning.
Oh, my pleasure.
Why? Why this song? It's going with such a moment that has such drama and importance in collegiate sports.
Well, it's not, as you were saying, a good song per se, but I don't think that's why people love it. It's sort of like the theme to a much adored 80s sitcom. And before, I mean, I remember when I was a kid, before Highlights on Demand, this was the only way to see all the best moments and the visuals from the entire NCAA tournament. One thing that I think is really endearing about the song, in a way, is it's painfully literal. Like, the line about the wind in your face is almost always cut to a block shot. The horn solo is almost always cut to an image of the pep band in the stand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's that kind of cheesy editing that goes with the cheesy music. All right, Celeste Ibrahim, sit tight. We're going to play some songs here. Pipe in whenever you want here. I mean, when I think sports music, I got the Fox theme in my head. These things are made to take over your brain. Tell me about this one, Heart of a Champion. All right, that's going to be in my brain the rest of the day. John Solomon, good or bad?
Well, I think one thing that I really like about it is it takes the 1990s NBA theme song from NBC, Round Ball Rock, and samples that.
Who knows the titles of these? John Solomon does.
And as someone who spends a lot of time in basketball gyms across the nation, hears the same sort of songs again and again and again. This one actually has something tangentially to do with sports.
All right. Let's try this next song. Nets Are Back.
We got something for you to kiss, so do it, do it, do it, do it, do it now. They're too
now, this is the genre of a kind of a cover song, right?
Yeah, this takes a So Dirty You'd Be Instantly Fine by the FCC song by Kia called My Neck, My Back, and they tried to turn it into a theme for the 2002 NBA Finals.
And the Nets haven't been the same since, I guess.
Yeah, despite the power and grace of that song, the Lakers swept the Nets 4 games to nothing.
All right. Now, guys, John Solomon insists, okay, that this next track is an awesomely bad sports song. Chocolate Strawberry.
Yeah.
My name is Dell. I'm a baseball player.
That's really Daryl Strawberry.
Yeah, they wisely wait 2 minutes and 12 seconds for Daryl Strawberry's first verse on that song, but he's accompanied by UTFO, who do most of the heavy lifting.
He probably just showed up late for the recording session, right? Let's get this last one here. This is also for the New York Mets. You know, instead of the word mesmerized, we have get Metsmerized.
I made the move, it feels just right. I've been mesmerized, I see the light.
My name is Hojo, I'm here to say our team is going all the way.
With pitching power, they did all right in 86, though.
Yeah, well, after the Super Bowl shuffle, everyone had to do a song like this, and some teams thankfully used lip-syncing, but not the Mets.
So, John Solomon, what is the significance of the 25th anniversary of, you know, the shining moment song?
Well, I know this year they're going back to the Luther Vandross version after Jennifer Hudson's much maligned 2010 take, and I know my inbox and Twitter feed erupted in joy. People seem to love that version most of all. So after
Good
the game
move.
Tonight, you'll hear Luther.
this is... It proves that sports stars are not very cool. They're actually extremely corny.
They corny.
Are.
Sports is corny. That's good. That's a good takeaway. John Solomon, college basketball journalist for PrincetonBasketball.com. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headley. This is The Takeaway.
One great shining moment.
Oh, please. Oh, God.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.